This morning we come to the parable of the 10 virgins as we find it in Matthew chapter 25. It's Matthew chapter 25 beginning at verse 1 and through verse 13. It's on page 1540 if you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles. The words will also be on the screen. Matthew 25 beginning at verse 1. And just so you know, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, "At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' But while they, the foolish virgins, were on their way to buy oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. 'Sir, sir,' they said, 'open the door for us.' But he replied, 'I tell you the truth, I don't know you. I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So in our passage this morning, in this parable, Jesus teaches us that there are two types of people. There are those who are spiritually prepared for his coming, and those who are spiritually unprepared for his coming. The parable of the 10 bridesmaids, I'm going to call them bridesmaids because that's a bit more accurate in modern parlance as to what Jesus is talking about here. This parable of the 10 bridesmaids stresses the truth that the time to prepare for Jesus is now. Because when he comes again, it's going to be too late, okay? Now, have you ever been caught unprepared for something? Yeah, I have too. I was trying to think of a good story that I could tell you about when I was unprepared, but they all hurt a little bit too much and make me look too bad, so couldn't think of a good one. But I suspect that we could share numerous humorous stories about times when we were caught unprepared, times when we were taken by surprise. And as I said, this parable is certainly about being caught unprepared. But in this case, and that's why I decided not to tell a story, the situation contains no humor whatsoever. In fact, the kind of unpreparedness that Jesus talks about in this story leads to absolutely disastrous consequences. It points to an event for which you absolutely do not want to be caught unprepared. So the parable begins by describing the character of these bridesmaids. And we're challenged, I think, by Jesus in speaking this parable. We're challenged to be honest about which group of bridesmaids we identify with. To consider in life and doctrine whether we are wise or whether we're foolish. Because, as I said, the parable reminds us that when Jesus comes again, there's going to be two groups of people. There's going to be two types of people. There will be one group that is adequately prepared, those who are wise. There will be some who are completely unprepared, those who are foolish. There will be some who believe in Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as their Lord and their King and their Savior, and there will be some who do not. And God's word tells us in many different places and in many different ways that there's no middle ground here. It's all or nothing. And so we must see to it that we are prepared. The parable also tells us about a groom that was delayed longer than anyone expected. But it was this very delay that revealed which bridesmaids were ready to join him at the proper time and which bridesmaids were not ready. Now, to help us understand the context a bit better, I thought it might be helpful to explain a few things about wedding and marriage practices in Jesus' time. You know, first century Jews made as much of weddings as we today do, perhaps even more so than we do. In fact, their weddings actually lasted 7 entire days. The custom would have been for the groom on the first night of the wedding feast to go to the home of the bride's family in order to pick her up. He would speak to her parents. I mean, this was all known beforehand, but he would go and kind of formally speak to her parents, and then they would give him their permission and their blessing. But here's where it gets a little wonky. As a sign of respect and honor for their daughter, the bride's parents would traditionally keep the groom waiting. Because the longer the parents could delay the groom, the more honor they were bestowing upon their daughter, or so the logic goes. Perhaps this served to prepare the groom for different situations that he might face in his marriage, right? Well, once the parents finally allowed the bride and groom to leave the house, they would all process along with the groomsmen to the wedding ceremony. And along the way, they would meet and gather up the bridesmaids, and they would make their way all together to the wedding celebration. But in this story, apparently, the groom was delayed for a long time. And when the wedding party came to get them, those bridesmaids, only 5 of them were ready, and 5 of them were not. Now, some commentators believe that this parable most directly applies to the visible and the invisible church. In other words, the wise bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaids do not represent the church and the world first and foremost. They represent true believers and those who are maybe just pretending. Commentator J.C. Ryle says this: of all these bridesmaids, all of them profess to have one object in view, but only 5 were truly wise, the rest were foolish. The visible church of Christ is in just the same condition. All of its members are baptized into the name of Christ, but not all truly hear his voice and follow him. All are called Christians, all profess to be of the Christian religion, but not all have the grace of the Spirit in their hearts and are really what they profess to be. So we must be wise, true believers, in order to truly be prepared for the day of the Lord's coming. And brothers and sisters, that kind of wisdom requires watchfulness and regular self-examination. Because we can get knocked off center a lot more easily than we like to admit. And so it is helpful in a watchful and self-examination sort of way to regularly ask yourself these questions. Are we trusting in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone? Do our lives, which consist of our thoughts and our words and our behavior, communicate a longing and an expectation and anticipation for Jesus to return? Are we ready for that? Are we ready for Jesus to come back at any moment? Or when we stand back to think about it, do we say to ourselves, man, I hope that he just maybe waits another week or two, or another year or two. Or, you know what, I would just really like to live my life the way that I want to live it, and then right at the end, I can kind of get serious about my faith, pass away, we're all good. Do we have nothing but a vague plan to start getting ready at some point? Because that's precisely what Jesus is taking his aim at in this parable. It's a dangerous way to live. It's an even more dangerous way to die. Because the moral of this parable, when you get right down to it, is that when Jesus Christ comes again, it will be too late to start getting prepared at that point. We need to be prepared now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of preparation. Because when that day comes, the day of our opportunity has passed. What happens in the parable? We're told in verse 5 that all the bridesmaids got sleepy. All the bridesmaids got sleepy. I don't think that Matthew records this detail in order to condemn the bridesmaids and in order to besmirch them at all. In fact, he prefaces the statement with the explanation that the bridegroom was a long time in coming. Not just a long time, a really long time. Really long time. So they all got sleepy. And they all had the temptation to wonder when or if he was actually going to arrive. They all had the temptation to let their guard down and get distracted by other things. And it's the groom's delay kind of creates the circumstances that would reveal which bridesmaids kept their eye on the prize, which bridesmaids were faithful and wise, and which ones were not. So the plot actually turns on the delay of the groom. And we learn that what differentiates the foolish from the wise is precisely the failure of the foolish bridesmaids to consider the possibility that the bridegroom might come earlier or later than they expect. They mistakenly think that when they hear the announcement of the bridegroom's arrival, that they will have a chance to get prepared at the last moment. The wise bridesmaids, on the other hand, get ready and they stay ready. And so they take advantage of their day of opportunity. Well, the announcement comes, but only the 5 wise and prepared bridesmaids have enough oil for their torches. The other bridesmaids had enough oil to get their torches lit, but they immediately begin to flicker and threaten to go out. And so what do the foolish bridesmaids do? They start to beg the wise bridesmaids to share their oil, but the wise bridesmaids answer, no, no. Which on the surface is a bit surprising, I suppose. You would think that on the occasion of a wedding ceremony, there might be a little bit more cooperation between the bridesmaids. And yet, in this case, and based on what this parable represents, it's not surprising at all. After all, saving grace is not transferable. Preparation is not transferable. The wise bridesmaids say to the foolish bridesmaids, no, there's not enough oil for both of us. In other words, we have prepared for this because it is the most important thing to us. What were you guys thinking? Go into the town and see if you can buy some oil for yourselves. Well, as the parable states, it's the middle of the night. It would not be likely that they are going to find a place accessible for them to buy more oil. And nevertheless, they went anyway because, hey, what else could they do at that point? And while they were away on their fool's errand, the bridegroom arrived. The wise bridesmaids, five of them, joined the wedding party, and they went together to the banquet hall, and the door was shut. There are certain phrases in Scripture that are really, really scary when you stop to think about them. And this, for me, is one of those phrases. The door was shut. The door was shut. Put yourself in the shoes of the foolish bridesmaids. Maybe those shoes fit better for you than you'd like to admit. The time came. They were not prepared. They missed the arrival of the bridegroom. And so they tried to find their way to the banquet hall by themselves. But the door was shut. The door was shut. Now, I don't know what it's going to be like exactly at the end of all things when Judgment Day comes. I don't know what level, measure, whatever you want to call it, of realization there's going to be. But let's imagine that there is some. And let's imagine the way that these foolish bridesmaids felt. Disappointment, anger with themselves, panic. Here Jesus solemnly teaches us about the final eternal consequences of unpreparedness. And again, we encounter another one of those phrases that's scary, that jars us out of our complacency. These bridesmaids that had been part of the wedding party, they show up to the banquet hall late and they knock on the closed door, but the response of the doorkeeper is, I do not know you. I do not know you. And now perhaps you're thinking to yourself, well, that seems a little bit unreasonable, doesn't it? But think about it for a moment. Put it into a present-day context. You invite 10 young ladies to be bridesmaids at your wedding. At the wedding rehearsal, the instructions are given for the following day. As a matter of fact, the instructions are given multiple times. Bridesmaids must arrive ready to go 2 hours before the wedding celebration. Well, the wedding day comes. The time for the bridesmaids to arrive comes. And five of them are there, ready to go, and five of them are not. So the hour of the wedding ceremony comes closer, but the five bridesmaids still do not arrive. And finally, the decision is made by the parents and the bride and groom and the pastor and the wedding coordinator that the wedding ceremony must take place as planned. Then an hour and a half later at the reception, the five absentee bridesmaids show up. They forgot. They overslept. They have no legitimate excuse. How would you feel about this? Jesus says to us in this parable, when I come again, the time for preparation is past. It's long gone. You must make your preparations and be prepared beforehand, or you are not ready at all. In this parable, even though the bridesmaids cry out, "Lord, Lord," the master of the house responds, "I do not know you." Reminds us of what Jesus says in Matthew 7:21. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." At the end, there will be people who say, "Lord, Lord," and what will Jesus say to them? "I never knew you." Now, that word "to know" is loaded with significance. Whether you're talking about Greek or Hebrew, whether you're talking about the Old Testament or the New Testament, it is a term that's loaded with significance. To say, "I do not know you," means more than just, "I don't recognize you." It means that I do not acknowledge you as one of my people. Now, in Genesis 18:19, we are told that the Lord knew Abraham. It says, "For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." In Exodus 33:17, we are told that the Lord knew Moses, and the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." In Nahum 1:7, we are told that the Lord knows all those who fear him. It says, "The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him." In John 10:14-15, Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd who, what? Knows his sheep. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." In 2 Timothy 2:19, Paul tells us that the Lord knows those who are his. "Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness." For Jesus to say, "I do not know you," means that you have never had a personal saving relationship with him. He does not know you. He does not recognize you as part of his family. And so this parable encourages us to be prepared and strongly, strongly warns us not to be unprepared. And brothers and sisters, I said it a different way earlier in the sermon. There is no such thing as a partial Christian. We are either all in or we are out of luck. Our choice is here in this time and in this world and in this life have eternal consequences. And we must be careful to prioritize the most important things right now. That Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and King. That we trust in him completely. That we are walking in his ways. I hope that we all endeavor to be wise like the bridesmaids who took great care in their preparation. It takes watchfulness. It requires us to regularly examine ourselves as to our readiness for the Lord Jesus to come on the clouds. It's going to happen in a flash, in a blink of an eye. We need to be ready. And on that last day, As our congregation stands before the Lord, and we stand before the throne of God, I do not want any one of you to miss out on hearing those beautiful words, "Well done, my good and faithful servants." Rejoice and enter into the glory that I have prepared for you. The time is now. Let's be ready. Amen. Let's pray.